Someone's been talking to you.
Yes, they have, as it happens.
Oh, God, Shirley, I'm sorry, love. I was drunk. I don't know what came over me.
Funnily enough, I thought I heard someone shouting in the street last night. I never thought of it being you.
Yeah, well, I was drunk, Shirley.
But, Cliff, to go round and shout at George, of all people, especially after he'd agreed to make the flat over to us, and the things you said. You hurt him terribly, Cliff.
Sure. Listen, I'm sorry. I just don't remember a thing about it.
Well, that doesn't make it any better, does it? You have to apologize to George.
Oh, my, I suppose so.
But of course you will. How could you do a thing like that just when we were really getting everything sorted out at last? Well, you still haven't told me why.
No, I don't remember. Last part of the evening is a total blank.
But why get drunk in the first place? There must have been a reason.
Did George tell you what I was on about? I mean, did he have any idea what it was, that sort of triggered it off?
Not really. He just said you made a lot of noise. You called him an interfering old busybody and a thief.
Oh. Was that all?
Isn't that enough?
No, I don't mean that, love. I mean, well, I wondered if I'd said anything about the skill centre place, the TOPS course.
Well, now you've really lost me. Why should you sound off at George about your carpentry course?
Well, I reckon that's what's been getting me down, you see. I've been having a spot of bother there, and it's been playing on my mind, rather.
You never said anything to me, love. What sort of bother?
Well, I didn't want to talk about it. I felt a little bit stupid, really. And, well, the thing is, the manager of the centre, Mr. Mason, he called me into the office and he'll give me a red rollicking.
What for?
He'll tick me off and I'll pull my weight up skiving a bit, taking time off when I should have been working. Well, he said I got to pull my socks up or else.
Has it really got that bad?
Well, fair play. There's probably some truth in what he says. But don't worry, Shirl. I don't need telling twice. I'll toe the line from now on. You'll see.
Mm. And this all happened yesterday, did it? Him ticking you off?
Yeah, that's right. I suppose that's the reason why I had a drop too much last night.
And then you had to go and take it out on poor old George. But why couldn't you have told me about it? If something goes wrong, I want to know.
Yeah, well, I don't like bothering you with every little thing. You've got your own problems. Keeping up with the old university course and all of... Not that it seems to bother you much.
What do you mean?
Well, it's comical, really, when you think about it. My wife's slogging away, studying an open university course, improving her mind. And there's me, practically getting chucked out of elementary woodwork. That's really hilarious, that is.
Oh, hey, careful.
Damn, now it's gone onto the cloth.
It'll wash out.
I'm being very clumsy this morning for some reason.
That's your third cup of black coffee, you know. Anyone would think you had a hangover.
Don't be daft.
As far as I remember, you were stone-cold sober when you went to bed. Now look at you. Nothing to eat, not even a slice of toast. Nothing for breakfast but two aspirins and half a gallon of black coffee.
I've got a bit of a headache. I didn't sleep very well last night.
Yeah, I know. I was lying next to you, remember? You're sitting there like a whirling dervish you were. What's the problem?
Problem?
Oh, look, love. When you don't sleep, it's because you're wrestling with some problem or other. Something wrong in the restaurant?
Not exactly.
What's that supposed to mean? Business taking a bit of a nosedive, is it?
No more than usual at this time of year. It'll pick up at Easter.
Okay, then. What's the trouble?
There's nothing serious, Matt. It's not the restaurant that kept me awake. It's because I was lying awake that I started fretting about the restaurant. Silly little things, really. I'm sure I can sort them out quite easily at lunchtime.
Oh, you're not going into lunchtime?
No, I've got some odd jobs to do here. Oh, Lord, I forgot to tell them I'd be late today. I better phone.
Well, there won't be anyone there this early, surely.
Of course not. I'm going to ring Rob at home.
He won't, thank you. Getting him out of bed at this hour. Hey, by the way, Rob had a bright idea, I meant to tell you. Well, we were talking about the freezer plant, and he suggested we should get in some casual labour. Part-timers.
Hello, Rob. Oh, Dickon. Yes, hello, it's Lynn Pryor. Sorry to bother you. Could I have a quick word with... He isn't. You mean he's gone out already? Oh, I see. No, it's not important. I'll catch him at the restaurant later. Bye, Dickon.
Not there, eh?
He didn't go home last night. Staying with friends, Dickon said.
Oh, he's a dark horse, that lad. Looks as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, and all the time he's out in the town, living it up night after night. I told him, he's burning the candle at both ends.
Yes, I expect you're right.
What were you saying just now?
Oh, it's amazing what you can get away with when you're young. Yeah, just now, what was that?
Something about casual labour at the freezer plant.
Oh, yes. Time. Yes, well, it's true. We could use extra help on a day-to-day basis when we're really pushed. Seemingly, Rob's got some friend or other who's out of work. I said I might give him a try. I'd have to consult Bill, of course.
You'd have to be very careful, Matt.
What?
Well, taking on a total stranger, I wouldn't rush into anything too hastily if I were you.
Prophet, I told you. He's a friend of Rob's. So it should be okay, shouldn't he?
I don't know. We don't really know very much about Rob's friends, do we?
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. Just don't be in too much of a hurry, that's all. It's always a mistake to take on people sight unseen.
Who said anything about sight unseen? I simply told Rob if he knows someone suitable, send him along. We'll have a talk to him. Make up our own mind. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Sorry. I'm not thinking very clearly this morning.
So much for black coffee and aspirin.
Half a pound of black bacon, butter, chief biscuits, raspberry jam.
What was that, Peter? Were you addressing me?
No, Father.
How am I
not
expected to hear what you say when you will mumble under your breath like that?
I was mumbling under my breath because I wasn't talking to you. I was checking the shopping list.
I should hardly have thought that necessitated reading it aloud. However, you know best, no doubt.
Baked beans.
You're indigestible.
Then don't eat any. Jill and Jane are going through a passionate addiction to baked beans at the moment.
So I observed. Perhaps you might get one of those tins of asparagus tips for me. The shop at the top of the hill has them, I believe.
I won't be going that way this morning. I shall be shopping at Reichert Road at the Cut Price supermarket.
Oh.
I doubt if they carry asparagus tips among their special offers.
Good heavens, why do you have to go there of all places?
Because it's more economical. And because I'm going to Reichert Avenue anyway. I want to see that big firm of builders on the corner.
Builders? Whatever for?
Well, I couldn't very well go back to Cuthbertson and Price and tell them we'd changed our minds about the extension yet again, could I?
I didn't know you had changed your mind again.
I haven't changed my mind. You have.
Nothing of the sort. I don't know what you're talking about.
Father, you told me you decided not to go and live with George at Wagoner's Wharf, just after we'd sent all the timber back. So now, if we need the extension after all, I shall have to get an estimate from a different builder, won't I?
The operative word is if. That's your trouble, you see. You will get carried away. If only you'd consult me first.
Oh.
These unfortunate misunderstandings would never arise. What a good job I happened to find out you were thinking of going to that builder at Reichert Avenue. I can save you a wasted journey.
How?
By telling you that I have made up my mind to accept George's generous offer. I shall be moving into number 1 Wagoner's Walk in a fortnight's time, so you needn't build the extension after all. You see, it's really very simple, if only you exercise a little patience.
Father, you mean you are definitely moving out of this house in a fortnight's time?
Yes.
You won't be here after
that. That's what I said.
Yes, I know that's what you said, Father, but do you think I could have it in writing?
Now, you're just being childish. I am merely trying to point out that since you will not have to go to Reichert Avenue, you may as well do your shopping at the top of the hill. So you'll be able to get me those asparagus tips after all, won't you?
No.
Why, ever not?
I'm still not going in that direction. After what you told me, I shall go via the old bakery and call on Lynn.
Peter, what a nice surprise. Sit down. Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Telling you, Lynn, one more cup of coffee, you'll turn into a bean.
No, Lynn, don't bother. I can't stop long. I'm on a shopping trip.
What have you done with Jill and Jane? Are they in the car?
No, they're at home. I put Father in charge till I get back.
Huh?
After the way he's mucked us all about lately, it's the least he could do.
Well, he hasn't been mucking us about, has he?
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Until he stopped shilly-shallying and decided where he wants to live, none of us could really settle down. Mind you, it's poor old Jeremy who really got shuttled around. Still, that's sorted itself out now, thank goodness.
I don't think Jeremy has any complaints, Peter.
Oh, no, I'm sure he hasn't. He's had a wonderful time here, but he can move back to his own home now, so no more problems.
I take it your father's going at last, then?
Yes, and not before time. I mustn't be uncharitable, though. He means well, and we've enjoyed having him to stay. But I wouldn't want it to go on as a permanent arrangement, nor would he.
Of course.
So, I thought I'd call in and give you some advance warning. The Nashes are moving out at the end of next week, I understand, and George Underdown will be moving into number 1 almost immediately, and then, well, any time after that, Father will move in too.
It seems odd to imagine that house without Mike and Claire in it.
It'll be even odder to think of Father living there. Still, if that's what he wants, who are we to argue? Now, about Jeremy. I thought we'd pick him up that weekend. That'll give you plenty of time.
Peter, do you think we could talk about all this another time?
Well, if you like. But I'd like to get things settled.
It's only that you've picked a rather fraught moment. Matt and I are both up to our eyes at the moment.
Yes. Yes, been one of those days, you know, Peter.
He's having trouble finding the right person to do part-time work at the freezer plant, and I've got to go across to Rob. I mean, to the restaurant.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry about that. But even so...
I know, it's very tiresome of me, but I really do have to dash, so...
Well, all right, then. We'll talk about it some other time. But, soon. Well, I'll leave you in peace now. Oh, incidentally, this probably fits in rather well in view of your situation.
Sorry?
I was going to say, in any case, since we didn't see Jeremy last weekend, I'll collect him from school tomorrow and take him home for tea. Since you're both so busy, you'll be glad to have him off your hands for a while.
Is this a good moment, Mike, or are you just rushing off?
No, Shirley, no. Come and sit down.
Oh, thanks. It won't take a sec. I know Wednesdays are always busy for you.
Not anymore. Shut the door, would you please?
I brought up the estimates for next month for you to initial.
Oh, well, put them in the in tray and leave them there.
Oh, well, I thought you generally liked...
Well, you see before you the new Mike Nash, gentleman of leisure. I'm gradually phasing myself out, leaving all those little chores to poor old Liz.
And you won't be sorry to say goodbye to all that.
I can't wait. Claire and I keep thinking, 10 days more and we'll be in our new home.
Oh, smashing, Mike. I'm really glad for you.
Oh, which reminds me. I've been having a good turnout of all my books in the study. Well, to be honest, Claire insisted. I do seem to have accumulated an awful lot of volumes, which I'll probably never look at again. And I'm now going through them, trying to be ruthless. It's awfully hard.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, it's either the dustbin or the Oxfam shop. Unless there's anything there you might be interested in. Well, go on, say you'll rescue my books from a dreadful fate.
Well, it's very nice of you to think of it, Mike, but... Well, I'd better say no.
Oh. Oh, well, if you're sure.
Now, I've already got all the reading I can cope with, quite honestly, what with the different work units and so on, and Cliff...
Well, what about Cliff?
Oh, well, he's already making unhappy noises about me doing so much studying. Fairly loud noises, actually. I don't know whether you happened to hear him the other night after the pub turned out.
Well, I did notice a bit of yelling going on. Cliff?
No, he'd had a bad day at Enfield, so when he got back to the wagon, as he started knocking it back. I'm sorry if he disturbed you.
Oh, don't give it another thought. The training course isn't working out too well, then?
Well, it's not the course itself. I think it's Cliff, or well, it's both of us. I don't think I'm exactly helping at the moment. At least it hasn't come to divorce yet. Do you suppose Peter realised?
Well, you made it fairly obvious, like.
I just said the first thing that came into my head.
So I noticed.
Well, you heard Peter talking about Jeremy going back to his own home, as if he's just roughing it here in an emergency.
But we always knew we'd have to face this sooner or later. You want Jeremy to stay here permanently, don't you?
I don't know what I want, Matt.
You can't face the thought of letting him go, can you?
And of course I want Jeremy, but only if all the circumstances are right.
Well, they are right. They'll never be any righter than they are now. So what's the matter?